Welcome to the Josh Bolton Show, where we dive into interesting and inspiring conversations. And now, your host, Josh Bolton.
Hello. I love your plant in the background.
Hey, thanks so much.
So where are you at?
Reno, Nevada.
Okay. I'm like near LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Above or below? Or
below.
Okay.
I'm going to say, do you know of like Claremont, California?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's around that area.
Okay. Awesome.
Cool. So, let's see, your thing is about marketing. So what specifically are you good at? Like, what do you go into with your clients on marketing?
Yeah. So we manage like data pipelines for clients. So basically marketing is whatever, however you want to define marketing. Like everyone does it differently, but we help our clients like to measure the outcome of that so that they then can like ultimately improve upon it. Right. So like, that's like our entire business model is just built off of, talking with the marketing teams. Like they have a outcome they're looking for, and then we kind of, report on that.
Okay. Interesting. Because I would say, you started off, you're saying in your bio, you did video.
And then I was originally like a videographer back in the day.
Okay. So it was just, like the thing said, you switched, but you know what? I'm kind of like liking this already. Can we, before I start stumbling and forget to say it, can you give us a quick intro of yourself?
Yeah. So yeah, my name is JJ Reynolds, currently living in Reno, Nevada. I manage the team at Media Authentic, as well as the content over on datastudio.vip, which is like a training platform for how to create visualizations that are awesome. And so basically we manage data, marketing data for clients from anything from Facebook ads to SEO to just regular website metrics. All of that is what we do.
Okay, cool. So then my initial question, so you started off with video and making content, you realized people didn't know what to do with it and how to measure it. What was like that key moment that you always go back to, like, this was the moment I realized I had to do this?
Yeah. So I think the main thing was when I was creating lots of videos for mostly wineries. So I was doing like winery promotional style videos, but some more marketing like related videos. When I was doing that, What ended up happening was you would get contracted to create a video for X amount of dollars, a 3-minute promotional video promoting some type of wine or anything like that.
Right.
So you'd create the video and then you'd film it, you'd edit it, you'd do all the things that accompany video creation, and you'd deliver to the client and they'd be like, cool, now what? Right. Like to be like, oh, like, what do you do with this actual video? And so I ended up being like a kind of a consultant in the sense of like, okay, you could post this on Facebook and you could post this on your YouTube channel and you could actually turn it into an advertisement. So all these other things started coming out of like this video that I was contracted to create. But ultimately no one knew what to do with it. And so that's kind of how it started, where I was like, okay, we can kind of take the next step, right? You have the content, then you have promotion, right? The next phase of kind of getting it out there. And then after that, it was like, well, how do we actually know if it's quote unquote working, right? Like what's the definition of working? How do we know if it's just doing the desired outcome? And so I really started diving into measuring those results from the amount of effort that was put in.
Okay. So then, like you said, Facebook, did you use like Instagram, TikTok and YouTube? I don't think TikTok was a thing back then.
Yeah. So there's no TikTok. But it started out with just being like, let's push the boost button on the Facebook. This was probably like 20, like when the boost button first kind of came out. Mm-hmm. And so you push the boost button and spend, I don't know, $100 here, like $500 there. Like usually most people had some sort of budget to spend. Mm-hmm. But then you'd always wonder like obviously impressions don't pay the bills. Right. And so that was kind of like my forte into that, the, I guess, content creation into media buying as a profession. I ended up actually after that kind of going into advertising. I got a job at a Facebook or a Google Ads agency. So again, took the pretty much what you'd expect from you do content creation, next step in promotion, next step in kind of optimization. So for search, and then ultimately measuring to kind of circle back. So like that stage of progression through like a business model, like I basically took as like a career path.
Okay. So then what was the biggest thing? So you went from the video creation and you're getting impressions, but no click-throughs and purchases. What did you see when you were working at the marketing agency that the layman like me wouldn't have gotten, kind of thing?
Yeah. So I had the opportunity of managing like hundreds of thousands of dollars of ad spend a month. Mm-hmm. And so like in doing that, you get to see a lot of like fluctuations just in the markets, right? Where you can see some days you get huge returns and some days you get very nominal returns, right? But then the averages hopefully are better than what you're spending, right?
Right.
And so that was, again, like that's the name of the game at most agencies, right? Is where you're just trying to spend as much as you can to get the highest return on those dollars. And so it wasn't the sense of like, oh, like this is something super, super insider. I think it's mostly pretty standard as far as what happens at most ad agencies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the 50% hit and 50% doesn't, but you don't know which 50% is which.
Yeah, and then you try to make sure that you can like capitalize on that. And that's exactly why I went into like removing kind of the ad spend from side of things and just measuring. Because now, like for most of our clients, we can actually get like a better, a faster idea of what's working and what's not working. So we can turn that 50% of like not knowing what's happening into like 30% of what we don't know what's happening, and 70% we do know what's happening. So that's the progression that I took.
So then what is some of the steps or the funnel that we should know about, I guess?
Yeah, look, I guess if from my point of view, it comes down to everyone does this in their life, right? Where you have like inputs where you say, hey, like, should I, like, I'm hungry, like, let's go get food, right? Like that's
right.
Like the input and is the food. And then like the output is you stop being hungry, right? And if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to bulk up, you change what you're putting in to affect that. And the people that are really good at that become like bodybuilders or like weightlifters or mm-hmm. like physique competitions, because they're really good at managing those inputs and those outputs. Whereas the rest of us lay people out in the world like might not have the best like handle on like the input and the output of food to satiation. So yeah, that is like the core, but we have to like try and take that to the online world of and marketing in general, is where you're doing something, right? Whatever that might be, whether that's posting a YouTube video, creating a podcast, for a larger company, it could be like an initiative, right? Like we're going to try and create an entire blog to a help center, right? And you have to tie what you're trying to accomplish with the actual result of that. So then you can critique along the way. Because imagine if like you took a weightlifter and you blindfolded them and you said you cannot look at anything that you're eating for the next 6 months. And like, you can't look at yourself. You can't look at the scale. You can look at nothing. Whereas they give you an unlimited amount of food in front of you for 6 months. Like they probably wouldn't be where they wanted to be because they couldn't adjust along the way. And that's kind of like the best analogy I can give as far as like, when you're looking at marketing in general, the faster you can have an improvement level, the better your output is going to be in like the 6 month, that longer term vision.
Right. So let's say hypothetically, I'm a client of yours and we're running ads. What is the average time frame that you say, like, give Facebook and Google X amount of time? If it doesn't do it by this many weeks, then we need to readjust, kind of thing. What would be that time frame?
Yeah. So it's going to be different by platform. And that's where we kind of work with the teams to like make sure that they know what the expectation is, right? It's like the expectation versus the outcome. So if you're going to spend, let's just say $10,000 on the Facebook ads, right? Mm-hmm. are you going to, is $10,000 a lot of money to you, like to a company, right? Some companies that's not that lot, not a lot. Other companies, it's like their entire like quarterly budget, right? And so what you want to do is when I see the, hey, like, let's see maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks and of your test budget, let's see what's happening. And then we can create reports that will generate like, hopefully like insights for the team, right? Of like, oh, wow, people aren't clicking the ads, or, oh, wow, people are not moving from step A to step B the way that we thought they would. So we either need to adjust our expectation or adjust the page to match that, right? So we try to make it as intuitive as possible, where you can see like the fall off of like 100 people saw the ad, 10 people clicked the ad, 5 people saw the page, 1 person purchased. There you go. Like that. And then you can see if those numbers don't line up with your expectation, we know exactly where to go.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest one. I've been experiencing, it's funny how you mentioned the Facebook boost button. I've been throwing like $10 here, $10 there. Like I did a whole week or something and I got lots of impressions, barely interactions, and I'm just sitting here going like, and it's hard to get people to click kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's one of the like, especially on the platforms where it's like interruption based marketing, right? Like where you're like someone's on Facebook, they're not there for your ad, right? They're there to like enjoy or to tune out of something else. So it's really difficult to be that kind of impression, like interruption based marketing. Just think about like, for example, if you're at a movie theater, how often have you called the number like on the movie theater ad before a movie? Like never, right?
Never.
And the same thing goes for like social media. We just like don't think of it as intuitive. It's like easier to click the button on like Facebook ad as it is to like pull out your phone in a movie theater, walk outside, call the number on the screen. But it's kind of the same concept of you're there for something else and it's in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest one. Like for me, when I scroll through Instagram just to check up on stuff, and as I'm going, it was like a cute little puppy, and then suddenly this like aggressive guy, "You're a podcaster, aren't you?" I'm like, "Screw you," kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so like that's like for that person who ran that ad, right? You want to measure the outcome of it beyond just those impressions,
right? So then I kind of hinted on some of them. Are we looking through the click through? Well, it's the impression, click through, landing page, and then checkout, right?
So yeah, we actually like, well, like one of the best, I guess the best methods is like define the journey on the website. So like throw out the traffic source. Like, so don't even think of like, oh, this is Facebook traffic or whatever it might be. Just like go to your website and say, okay, like what are the steps that someone's supposed to take or that you would like someone to take on the page? And then layer that with, what is the journey of like the marketing journey someone's going to go on? And so we usually will define that as like impression is the page loaded. Like they like kind of like, we just know the page loaded, right? Aware would be kind of 10 seconds on the page where now, like, you know, that they're aware that your brand even exists, right? Like they didn't click anything, but they're more than like an impression and they're less than like a checkout. Right. And then you can like define those steps of what you're supposed to be, like what's supposed to be happening on the web page, which allows you to like define what's happening.
Okay. I'm like trying to think of the same question without saying the same thing, but then what would be, I guess some of the key points, the definition of that data. And that's what I was going for. It's like the definition, like they let, like you said, the 10 seconds, they know you exist, but they're not necessarily going to buy. What are some of the key metrics that you have that you tell your clients?
Yeah. So we like the best thing about the internet is that it's customizable.
Right.
So yeah, that's also the worst part of the internet is it's customizable. And so like, there's a lot of like KPIs, right? Like the key performance indicators that are kind of standard, right? Like, so for example, a page view, that's like a standard metric that everybody has identified as a KPI. Mm-hmm. Is that the best metric that we should use? Probably not, because we can customize it based on the business. And so it's just like, this is like the worst answer, but it really does depend. So for example, say you have a podcast website.
Okay.
Like imagine that you have a podcast website and all that it is archive of all of your podcasts, right? A page view means nothing because it's a podcast website. It's literally meant to have people listen. So why not measure for if someone's listened to, let's just say, 5 minutes of the podcast, and we're going to call that is like they're now aware that our podcast has existed. We could call it a page view. We can call it an audio view, whatever we'd like to make up for it. But that'd be a lot more useful as opposed to a page view. And so that's where it's like those KPIs, like the reason why people hire us is because we can define them to be custom to the intention that you're trying to like deliver, which ultimately makes it more actionable.
Cool. Yeah. It's funny how you said that. Like you have do you have a podcast site? I'm like, yes, I do. And I'm like, as you're talking away, I'm like, and I looked at my stats. I'm like, yeah, I have a ton of users, but no, and I only had like 2 listens today. So yeah, bet something, not a lot, but, I don't check that thing off. So I don't know what I'm missing. So then what is the, let's go down the, like the whole podcasting thing. Cause I heard you on a different show talking about the scheme of marketing where, maybe your CEO needs to hop on podcasts more to get more clients. What would be something like that for a client where they need to generate, like leads or clients, other than mentioning podcasts, what would be some of the tricks you tell your clients too?
Yeah. So we try to like not, we try to not be on like the advisory of like, hey, let's go on this podcast or like, let's run this traffic channel or all those types of things. The main reason that we work with like any client wants to work with us is to decrease the time of how when they try something. Cause say, for example, like you want it to run LinkedIn ads, right? Okay. Or like that's a thing. And your company's never done that before, right? Maybe you're a company of like 5 people and you're like, hey, we're going to have Susan who runs our media outreach, learn about LinkedIn ads and run $2,000 of LinkedIn ads just to see if it works. What we will do is want to define like, hey, is this working? And there's a whole like plethora of like methods to do so. But once you have that idea of like, let's try this thing, that's the marketing department or marketing person if it's a smaller company. Mm-hmm. Well, let's define like the outcome, right? So if you're going to LinkedIn ads and say our intention is to have people just know that we exist because our product is cyclical. Maybe it's only something that you would purchase. Maybe it's like a holiday budget planner, right? Yeah. So like it's only going to be purchased November and December or October through December. So if you're going to run LinkedIn ads in August, the goal is to have people aware that you exist. So let's measure for that. How efficiently are we getting in front of people? How efficiently are we getting people to the website, et cetera? But come November, how efficiently are we making dollars? Because that's what we need to be measured for, because that's the intention of these ads is let's get transactions. Let's like, again, all the kind of e-commerce standpoint of like revenue in on and add to carts and all that jazz. So like, that's what we like really, really strategize on. And it's, I'd say what we do is 60 to 70% strategy of like, what are we actually trying to accomplish? And then 30 to 40% is actually the tactics of here's how we can do that.
Okay, cool. So I'm actually, this is just me. You mentioned the running the ads in like August for November. How do you know the ads in August and October for November? How do you correlate them and translate them?
Yeah. So like frankly, it's difficult.
Sitting here, I'm like, wait, he must know something I don't.
Yeah. So again, it's the overall branding piece. So you have to match the intention of the ad. So you're not going to say like, hey, this person viewed this blog post in August and they purchased in December, right? Like having that as a report would be useless because it's not actionable. So what you want to do is you want to try and define like, hey, the intention of these ads in August is to get people to read our manifesto about like how we affect planning in December or whatever it might be. So that way you then now can say, okay, we're going to spend, the goal is 20 cents per 50% reading of this manifesto. That's our goal. So what we do is we kind of like break it out as far as inside of August, we want to say, okay, let's see if how many people are actually reading this blog or this manifesto about what our mission is for Q4. And that way you can define the outcome for this traffic set. And then in November, you're going to say, we're going to define the actual journey on the site for that. So the best way that you can kind of correlate it is as if you had a sales team of like, you're not expecting the person that like walks in the door to a shoe store, right, to buy a Ferrari. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're going to expect the person that walks in the shoe store to be like, hey, where are the Jordans? Or like, where are the running shoes? Right. And if they're not ready to buy, right, like just say, for example, they have like a kid in their hand and they're like, I'm just trying to look at the newest shoes that dropped. Like, they're not going to buy. They're going to walk out. But the store manager did their job of like being nice, being like welcoming them in, like mm-hmm. offering to like help with the kids or whatever it might be. And that was that's the whole purpose of having an associate there, is to kind of move the user through that journey, even if they don't buy a shoe. So long answer to a short question, it's difficult, but at the same time, you want to try and strategize what you're trying to accomplish.
No, that actually gave me a lot of insights because I was thinking the same thing. And that's when you brought up the shoe thing. I'm like, well, that's great online, but like the same thing, if someone walks into a building, how do I know, unless you're creepy like Target and everyone else that like has a facial recognition on you, how do they know when you came in and what you bought kind of thing? So
yeah, you want to just try and like keep it as like, what's the intention? And if you define, for example, like what's the intention of the person at the front of the shoe store, right? Welcome them. It's like, say hi. And the measurability of that person should be how welcoming are they, right? Like that's, yeah. But it's not how much revenue did they generate, because it's impossible to measure the revenue that the person at the front of the store welcoming people generated. But that was the goal of that person. And then you have the checkout cashier is how well did they check people out? And how did they offer the like protection plan? Like to say, hey, do you want to protect your shoe for the next 6 months for $12.99? And that's how you'd measure the checkout like a person, is how well are they good at they selling that extra piece. So you want to measure every single step of your website, your marketing journey, against like what it's supposed to be doing, as opposed to being like, how much money did this generate? Because not everything generates money, but it moves people into the next step of that buyer journey, or kicks people out, right? Someone walks in the shoe store and says, where do I get my oil changed? You're like, over there, like not here. Like, this is not
over the dotted zone across the way.
Yeah. And then you wouldn't measure that as like, oh, we didn't make any money. They weren't even trying to give you money ever. Like, they weren't right. Even like, it wasn't even a thought process.
Yeah. That would be interesting. You walk into like a Shoes for Less and like, I need to get my oil changed. It's like, well, yeah, it's that way. Sorry. You want to buy a pair of Jordans on the way out?
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people do with their marketing, right? It's like someone shows up to the site and then they leave and you're like, hey, do you want to buy a pair of Jordans? What about stilettos? What about like some running shoes, right? And they're like, I just wanted to get my oil change and I walked in the wrong store. My bad.
Yeah. It's funny for me. I just know because of talking guys like you, how the ad works. I just showed it to this one site. It was an old guest I had. And for like a solid week, his ads kept following me. I finally just texted him. I'm like, dude, can you just like turn off ads for me if that's possible? Because it's really annoying.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do, right? Is if you just walked into the shoe store and said, hi, where's the gas station? Or where do I get my oil changed? Like, you don't want to target them around the whole internet. Like, it's just not... like, it's not feasible. You're wasting dollars. But if you measured the person who picked up four pairs of shoes, tried one on, right? And then you targeted them around the internet of like, oh, hey, you want a $5 coupon off like any shoe in the store? Like, that's really enticing. And if you do that on a, like an e-commerce site or like a high ticket sales funnel of like the people who investigated the offer and like looked through all your sales copy and maybe added a couple things to cart, and then you targeted them around the internet, like that's much more useful. And they're actually happy you're doing that because they're like, oh yeah, I need to buy those shoes for my, like my fitness journey or whatever it might be.
Right. Yeah. Like that one, it would make the most sense. Or like they're right at checkout. And if you have your CRM set up correctly, it could tag it like, okay, he put it in the basket. He wants to buy, or he or she, whomever is going to buy. So that's where, yeah, it would make sense to pay the Google, Facebook, whatever, the extra $5-$10 because you're going to make an extra $60-$80 at the back end.
Exactly. And that's like, our goal is to have those steps like that. We're not measuring the people that are like looking for the oil changing facilities, right? You're measuring the actual people looking for shoes who might not be actually it, like ready to buy right now. They're just looking with, and they're with all their kids, right? For that's like my example that I usually give is like a mother at a soccer game scrolling on Facebook. Like they might not buy right then because halftime's over. Mm-hmm. But they might come back and buy later. And your goal of a website, of your marketing strategy, is to get them so that they can understand what you're about and if they want to buy your thing in that halftime of scrolling through their phone. And they come back and buy later.
So what would be some of the tricks? Let's say I'm making a 60 second ad. I'm just trying to get people known about this cool figurine I made. What would be some of the tactics if I was your client, you'd be telling me to do?
Yeah. So like off the bat, you'd probably have like a single product, like landing page, right? Where it's mm-hmm. like, that's the only thing to buy this one product. By default, I'd say that let's set up like some tags to be like the people who loaded the page, people who stuck around for 10 seconds. That kicks out everybody who is looking for the oil, right? They're looking for something else. Like maybe your website was like supercoolfigurine.com and it's an action figure and they were looking for a ballerina, right? So they load the page, they're gone, right? Kicked everybody out. So now you have that people who stuck around for 10 seconds. That's your actual addressable market for your marketing. If you have, then you want to decide like, let's figure out like what's on the page. Is it like a long form sales page? Is it a video offer? Is it just a kind of e-commerce standard carousel with like images that you can kind of click through? Let's measure if people engage with the actual image carousel, right? Are they looking at multiple images or or not engaging at all? Maybe they like, I've seen it where the site is designed so bad that people didn't see that you could actually click to view other images. They like didn't notice that was a feature and no one was actually looking at the rest of the images. So now you have a step, or we got three steps. You got people who saw the page, people who are on the page for 10 seconds, kicked out everybody who was looking for ballerinas. Then you got people who engage with the carousel, which is going to be mostly everybody that is going to actually buy, right? We'll actually kind of click through and kind of see those pieces. And then lastly, you'd probably want to have add to carts. So then now you've got like, or maybe it's not add to cart, maybe it's a single page checkout where you push the button and now you're like checking out, right? So now you've got four steps that you can measure for that your competition does not. Right. Nobody has those unless you were like working with us or somebody like us that was intentionally looking for those steps. So that now, if you were to say, for example, go to like Facebook and say, hey, Facebook, here's $1,000 to sell my figurine. We can then see how well Facebook starts at people getting people to the page, getting people stick around for 10 seconds, engage with your carousel, click the button of go to next step. Right. Mm-hmm. And if any of those steps has a huge dramatic fall off, we know what to fix it. Maybe the carousel is not designed properly that no one knows what the heck to do with it. Maybe it's like it takes too long to load and it doesn't like the images aren't there. Maybe it's not intuitive. Right. And so you can see those fall off steps of how well people move to that next step of the journey. And then that way, whoever the figurine owner is can then adjust and say, is it the traffic source or is Facebook not working or is it our marketing message that's not working? Cause it's a tango, right? It's both.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And thank you for that. That was like my whole question I was trying to get to is that those metrics, my question that came up though during that is what would be a type of CRM you'd recommend people to use so they can do the steps you're talking about?
Yeah. So like you actually don't even need like a CRM.
Oh, really?
You can actually just do it because for example, with a CRM, you don't have any of that. You don't have a user until they give you your email address, and everything we've talked about so far doesn't have an email address. You don't know who this person is. They're anonymous. And so what we'd recommend, like, we just use Google Analytics, honestly. Like we've worked with companies from a million to hundreds of millions of dollars, and it works perfectly fine. Once you get into probably billions of dollars and billions of users, you probably have to like go to something else that's more paid or upgrade your analytics account to Analytics 360. But the configuration in there is extremely, extremely like custom. You can measure for all the things I've mentioned. And then once you do have the email address, then you go to your CRM and you actually look at that and say, hey, how do we best market to Susan B. Anthony who purchased shoes? Like, should we cross sell and sell a different type of shoe, or should we upsell her to shorts? Let's go up the body, right? Like,
right.
And so by default, like we kind of break things up to answer your question is like front end marketing. And that's like where you don't have an email address. You don't know who the person is. That's Google Analytics, where you're measuring those impressions, those 10 seconds, those engagements, et cetera. And then you have back end marketing, and that's your CRM. That's like your subscription. That's what all that type of stuff where you know who the person is, you know what they've bought, you have asked them a certain survey, and you can custom message things depending on how advanced your CRM actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some that are really advanced and some that are really simple. And you're like, that's what I was asking. Is there any preferred one you use? But now that it's Google, I'm like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, it's like the tools will come and go. Like, honestly, just whenever, like, cause tech is, there's so many things like to run like an online business. It just keeps adding up. So my method that I give to tell people is like, write down everything you want it to do before you go shopping, and then go find the product that meets those requirements and nothing more, because it's really easy to add on like extra features that you won't use. But just write down what you need to start with and then get that going. And if you say like, oh, hey, like, not to pick on MailChimp, but like MailChimp doesn't work for us because it doesn't do advanced automations. We need to go to ActiveCampaign because of X, Y, and Z feature. And if you know that off the bat, it's much easier as opposed to being like, let's go look for a CRM. And then you find like 150 different ones that are all on the market.
And you're like, I don't know which one to pick.
Yeah. So if you're right on that, just pick the first one you find and break it. And then once you start using it more than it's supposed to be, then you upgrade.
Yeah. You either see if they have an upgrade or you go find another one.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to be respectful of your time. I don't want to give you also a little buffer in between things. So word suck today. Where can people like, contact you at website wise?
Yeah. So if you want to kind of like learn to do it yourself, like if you're hearing like what I'm saying and you're thinking like, wow, that's a good idea. There's you can head over to datastudio.vip. So that's datastudio.vip. And you can find that a lot of like all links about me, all that jazz is there. And then if you want to become a client, if you're like, hey, I've got a business that like fits this criteria of, most businesses work with about $1 million in revenue at a minimum. And if that meets your criteria and you're like, okay, let's get these guys on board, you can head over to Media Authentic. That's MediaAuthentic.com, or just Google me, JJ Reynolds, and you'll find it in the Googles. yes.
That's awesome. So there was actually two other questions I had, but I wanted to get that out first.
Go for it.
So other than work during these COVID times, COVID times are kind of ending, but hypothetically go with me. What have you been doing to keep yourself busy?
Yeah. Like I will like, obviously there's the work thing, like being a business owner, like you can always work more, but that's another thing. So the main thing that I actually love doing is mountain biking and hiking. So I've got a mountain bike. There's tons of trails. I'm pretty close to Tahoe. So I'm like 20 minutes from North Lake Tahoe. So I can drop in there and go mountain biking and hiking and do all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of like my main go-to is kind of like the outdoor, I guess, like action kind of based like sports.
That's fun. Yeah, I love mountain biking. I'm near some hills around here, so I get to go up some steep stuff. The second question I usually ask is, someone that's inspired by you, likes your mindset and wants to kind of emulate you, what are some tips, tricks, or advice you'd give them to start down a similar path?
Yeah, I'd say like follow like the things that you enjoy doing. Okay. So like I like ended up down this path just by following intuition, right? Like I started with video, then moved to the next step. And I still like editing videos. I still like shooting videos. I don't do it as much just because like, I don't like make any money from that anymore. And I still have fun with it. But follow like the things that you like would like to do and try to write yourself like a letter of like what's going to happen in 3 years. Like, where do you want to be in 3 years? And see if that lines up with what you're currently doing every day. And I think that's the best way. Like, if you like what I do, like if you're like, well, this, like, I want to be where JJ is. I would suggest like start with that because you can end up where I am and figure out like you don't like that really quickly. So if you like my best advice is like try to figure out like 1 or 3 years. If you can think 1 year out, sometimes 1 year seems like a giant milestone in and of itself, and see where do I want to be there and try to see like what are the steps that I need to do to be there and am I doing those today? And you'll probably end up where you want to be.
Wonderful, JJ. Love it. That's good insights right there. Absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been great, Josh. Thanks so much.
Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So, being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? If you do it on Apple, and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations, you're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel. Change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.